Standing with our hands held high. Freedom was a flare whole time. We come from God.
It is another moment that you guys get to share with me as we do Real Talk with Danny B. Of course, that always comes on Crown Radio. So make sure you get in there. But today, I'm like super excited. It's a different level of excitement for your girl because we have AI, the anomaly in the building. Y'all give her a round. Woo, we're going to do a girl fan wave. We're going to do it all.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you. Hey. So I am so excited because not only are you an entrepreneur, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a creative strategist, which I love that title. And then a true lyricist. Anytime I get to bring you up, I'm like, nah, and they'll be, I don't know. I said, here, I'm gonna send you her music. Just don't even waste no time. Press play. Okay. Then not only
I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, listen, you could go back and find your girl. I'm talking about you. And of course. We had Lecrae, where you were on Misconceptions 4, won a Grammy, just an all-around force to be reckoned with when it comes to creativity.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, my sister.
Thank you. And I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for reaching out.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your understanding, knowing my schedule is very intentionally scheduled.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I appreciate it. And I'm glad that we got to come together and connect. So I'm excited about this conversation.
Listen, the way you're busy is such a blessing and a beautiful thing because, and we're going to get into it. And one of the things our conversation today is all honed around is culture, community, creativity, and Christian hip hop. And when I see your schedule and when I see you out there, it's not just, hey, I'm a creative, you know, people like to talk, I'm a creative, but
yeah.
Not only a creative, but you're a creative that feeds back into the community. And
yes.
That's huge. Yeah. And so we're going to get into the first question, which I think is going to be exciting. I want you to share a few powerful words in describing yourself first as a creative and then second as an artist.
Yes. So first and foremost, I'm Itina Fareed Cook.
Yes.
Everyone, for the most part, knows me as AI, and AI stands for all in. AI, the anomaly, is the bigger title. Anomaly is deviation from the rule. That's what it literally means. And so within my life, coming from the foster care system, displaced from my family, having labels placed on me saying that I would be a failure to thrive.
Wow.
And I was diagnosed as emotionally handicapped.
Wow.
Because of the creative arts and the opportunities that I received as a young person, but also, you know, being in church because of my foster mother who adopted us, put us in church and just had us involved. Because of that, that shifted the trajectory and that shifted, you know, my situation in which I wasn't a statistic, you know, maybe in some areas, but I wasn't, I had no excuse, you know, and so I was able to grow and develop within the creative arts. Now, when I say creative, I'm talking like I was created by a creator. Let's start there.
Amen.
Okay, God is the creator of all things. Like I'm looking out the window right now and seeing the birds flying in the air, the trees, the grass, all of these things that he created intentionally for the benefit of us to help nurture us and the way that he designed us, he knew that he had to be purposeful in order to serve us. And he created an atmosphere that serves us.
Right.
And so me as a creative, all of the things that I've been given from my environment, from my resources to the mentors and counselors and individuals and teachers that were in my life, they served me.
Wow.
Now, what I attached to was creativity. That's literary arts. So creative writing, that's music, that's photography, that's video, that's all of these different aspects in where I can speak through the arts. Art is a language.
Right.
And I was given that, and all I'm doing with that is giving it back. Just like God, the creator, is giving us back. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I would describe myself, or, you know, my intent rather,
in
creativity. As far as describing myself as a creative, like, I feel like I'm all things creative. You know, I tapped into so many different aspects. I was in theater. I did stage plays. I did productions, videography. I run a company. We create human first stories to amplify the voices within the community. So I manage about 15 creatives on various projects, also younger creatives, and just trying to give them everything that I can. So I speak, you know, I speak different languages through the arts. You know, I find ways to interpret life through multiple ways of creativity. So that's how I think I would.
That's a word. Yeah. Just like sum it all up for us. That's beautiful. And I think one of the things, as you were, you know, getting into your story too, adding to that, I think sometimes with creatives, and it's usually never, I'm doing one thing, right? Super, because my mom's like, can you just do one thing? I'm like, I can not. And God has placed such a beautiful thing inside of you where you're able to really tap into different things. And just like you said, really then taking all those things and giving it back is a beautiful thing. So you brought up a big piece of it, which was the human first. And that's perfect that you said it, because it moves us right into this conversation. I want you to really tell us, because when we read about it, it says, why is human first so important in telling the story? Because right now we live in a super overloaded, you know, driven by social media. You have all these different, you know, different creatives and other people who are doing it for a numbers game. And so I really want to understand, what does human first mean? And then why is it so important in telling the story?
Yeah, so the way that I look at the idea of human first is loving yourself or loving your neighbor as yourself, you know, biblically. You know, it's agape love. My love for my fellow human being puts me in a position to be more intentional about my senses. So I want to listen. And so the Bible talks about being slow to speak and quick to listen. So, and then not only within the Bible, but when you have these different books, you know, I'm a reader. So in Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the habits is to seek to understand, then to be understood. So really simply, I feel like it's pulled from the Bible, just shifted.
Right.
So when you're seeking to understand, that means I'm intentionally listening. I'm an active listener because I want to understand.
Yes.
In order for me to really respond intentionally and tactfully, I need to get an understanding of what you're saying.
Right.
And so when I say human first, it's agape love. I love you enough to hold space for you. So when we're doing human first storytelling, when I'm approaching creating the questions, I'm approaching it with the thought of, I want to position these questions. I want to understand my subject matter so that I can tell the best story possible, so that it can be interpreted the way in which it needs to be to the public. If I want to amplify the voices of the community, I need to approach the community with a level of respect, with a level of care and consideration, so that I can get the best of that person in that moment, in order for them to give the best that they can in that interview, in that video, so that the public can get an understanding of either what they do as a business, what they do as an organization, as a company, or whatever the case is. So my approach is in that nature. Like I want to serve. That's at the end of the day. I just want to serve. And how is it best to serve? Is to put myself in the background. I got to sit back and cue the mic and amplify what you're saying.
How do you continue to live that out? Because we, you know, like I said, in social media, where people, when they're doing a video, the whole goal is really for them. Yeah. And then we're looking at numbers, unfortunately, because when I got in school, I think Facebook was the only thing happening, and it wasn't much you could say. And so now you have where people have all these tools, but like you said, you had to take a step back. How do you think people, if they really want to be a true, I really feel like there's a true creative, because there's so many people who use the word loosely. How do you really sit back and be okay with that? Because I know people really struggle with, this has to be my moment. Like, this is my show. How do you really make sure that you're approaching it with that agape love, that you are stepping back and being true in the conversation and your approach?
Yeah, I would apply the three R's in my life. You know, I speak often about it when I go and have different talks or conferences, lectures, the three R's is recognize, reflect, and revise. And so I'm a flawed individual. You know, I'm going to drop the ball. I have failures at times, but I want to close the gap on those failures. I don't want to, you know, use my imperfections as excuses. I want to do better. I want to be better. Right. So there's times where, you know, I fall short and I might say, you know, wait a minute, nobody paying attention to what I'm doing, because I think it's good work. But yeah. I have to recognize, okay, is it that I want to shine, or is it that I feel like what I'm doing needs to be amplified so that others can shine? Yeah. So recognizing your heart and your intent. Mm-hmm. And if it's the wrong intent, or it's not based off of what you set as your values and your beliefs, then let's start with reflect. You're reflecting back on your behaviors, your actions, and then you have to revise. Are my actions where I need to be? Do they align with my vision? Do they align with my beliefs? Do they align with my standards? And if they don't, then you need to revise. What do I need to do better and to elevate, you know, my character, you know? So I would say that's my process for myself, because I just want to be able to be in a position of care and concern and being considerate. So when I'm falling short, I want to make sure that I'm measuring myself up to that process. And it is. It's a lot of people who get really caught up in what other people are thinking.
Yeah.
And they're measuring themselves up to other people. Yes. And my whole thing is like, that's their ceiling. That's not your ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, let your ceiling be your ceiling. Let your business be your business. If you see other people striving, getting bigger numbers or whatever the case is, celebrate them. You know, it's better to celebrate them or recognize, you know what? I love what they're doing and how they're doing it. Now, that might not be the way that I do it because this is my thing, but what are the key ingredients in how they move? So that I can I can take on these ingredients and mix it into the dish that I'm creating for my life and to add value to my life. Like, it's really tough out here. You know, you're constantly comparing yourself and you don't need to do that. You really don't, you know, you need to compare yourself to yesterday's self. Am I better than yesterday's self? Because if my yesterday's self was a mess, I'm trying to be better than that chick. I'm trying to be better than her. You know, so that's my constant thing. I want to be better than her based off of the standards that I set for myself. And my standards are dipped and saturated into the word of God. Yes. And so I'm measuring myself up to what God says I need to be. So
Oh, that's big right there.
If I'm off, then I need to get myself back together again.
Amen to that. And so let's get into also to like Get Focused Productions. How did that birth with your company? What was the beginning moment for you?
Oh, man. Honestly, the beginning was I was in high school, me and a friend of mine wanted to be rappers.
Okay. Which did. Okay.
Made it happen. And we wanted to have like a record company and we called it Get Focused, Get Focused Entertainment.
Okay.
As time grew and, you know, I really liked the title. And as I began to grow within my business as a photographer, in business, I started as a photographer.
Okay.
And so when I saw that this was an opportunity, which I learned through like teen programs, how to develop yourself and things like that. When I saw that this was a business opportunity, that's when I started to think about my branding, what I wanted to do. And then I took on that name, Get Focused Productions, because I wanted to be focused. I wanted to hone in on what it is that I needed to hone in on. As time progressed, the names, it still makes sense. It's just the focus got even more focused.
Right.
I went from a photographer and doing video to then teaching other people how to, take their stories and develop their stories, to teaching young people how to utilize the camera, how to use the literary arts, how to use music, teaching organizations how to do that, to teaching businesses how to do that. And then I said, you know what? I have to let photography and video be in a position in which I use it as its specific artistry and not commercial.
Got you.
And I had to step away from that and step into a CEO role to where I encourage and influence the next, you know, generation of creatives and have them do the photography video. So they're doing, you know, production work, and I get to be the brains of the, you know, the space. And so I'm still focused, you know, still focused on a myriad of things. But yeah, that's where it came from. That's kind of sort of where we are now.
No, that's good. And I think that leads up to this piece of it, because when the part of giving back to that next generation and really, you know, my main day is finance. That's what I know, right? And the biggest beautiful thing is being able in the Black community to share that knowledge, right? Because for us to grow, we have to be able to share. There's so many gaps when people say, well, it's mine, I had to go through the hard part, I'm not sharing it. You go through the mud too. But when we're able to share and give, it creates a bigger wealth in the generation, because your willingness to share, right? And so you already just said it, giving back to the next generation. I want you to kind of talk about, is there any gaps that you see in giving back to that next generation from a creative space? Because what you're doing is very unique.
Hey, you think so?
I do.
I feel like everybody should. My philosophy is, I'm not going to be here forever. So I have to leave something here. And it comes from a place of, when I was young, when I was a teenager, I was involved in programs that fed me so much value. And I am never going to forget that.
Right.
And so I take that on and I do the same thing, because I am where I am because of those programs. I'm where I am because of those organizations that funded those programs. I'm where I am because mentors who sacrificed their time to sit with me and say, girl, you need to get it together.
Right.
And here's some resources. Here's an opportunity to learn about this and earn money. Here's an opportunity to come on with me so that you can be a teaching artist, or so that you can learn how to do production. Like, there's no way that I can go through life and not give that back. That's ridiculous to me, in my personal opinion.
Right.
So I think that it's just a practice that it energizes me on a day-to-day basis. It's not about me. It's not about me. Yes, my story is a huge part of it. Yes, I'm in front of the camera, but every time I am, I'm telling you where I come from and why I got to where I am. And I think there is a gap, and it could be that there's multiple reasons. One of the things that I saw as a young person coming up, and I'm talking about in my teens, is that the older generation, which is understandable if you step back and look at their perspective, they have worked so hard to get to where they got into. And then they see the generation coming up, and the generation coming up is getting there so much quicker. And all the hurdles that they had to go through, and the blood, sweat, and tears that they had to, that had to drip from their foreheads. They're watching the next generation move with so much ease. And I think sometimes it's a matter of, I had to get here, I had to do so much to get here. Or who do you think you are? Or you're going to have to learn the hard way so that you could get to where I am.
Right.
And I think that mentality can really be, it can be detrimental to our community, because it creates a gap between the younger generation and the older generation. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's counterintuitive to the culture.
It's
just get over yourself and work together and learn. The other thing is that the sense of, I have learned all that I can learn, and I don't need to learn anymore. I feel like life is all about continuously learning. And I think that the gap comes in where it's like, well, I don't need you. I got this.
Right.
Whereas I'm more so, I want to learn. I want to learn more. And then I'm not going to sit here and position myself as if I don't war with some of those things. This next generation is moving so fast. Like, First of all, when I was doing editing and video, I had to download a program through 10 CDs.
Ooh, that's right.
Final Cut Pro was 10 CDs.
Right.
These kids out here, one button. Now they have it.
Right.
And so I'm like, y'all don't even understand how much work it took for me to sit. Now I got to put the next CD in.
Five of 10.
Took me all day
just
to download a program. And all of the stress that I had to go through.
Yeah.
So what I do with that energy, and not to be long, you know, belabor the answer, but what I had to do was I had to understand that, okay, what did that teach me? It taught me patience.
Mm.
It taught me endurance. It taught me commitment. It gave me grit. And so these are the things that I gained. So that's what I want to teach the next generation. So if I feel like it's a little easier for them, I'm about to build a program so you can feel what it feels like to have to exercise that patience, because that's what you're going to need to sustain yourself as a creative.
Yes.
Everything is not going to be like go, go, go. You're going to have to learn how to be patient. How do you do that? Well, here's a program you're going to learn today. It's a mixture, you know, there is a gap, but I feel like if we shift our perspective and understand what the generation needs, we can help kind of solve that bridge or bridge that gap, if you will.
No, that's big. And definitely, I love when you said just creating a program for that, because I always have to tell, you know, I used to manage people too, and I'm about to be 40, but you know, the 20.
I'm coming up on there too.
Listen, we gonna get it together. And it's so funny because the 20, you know, I'll ask, you know, like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? And it's like, well, I just want to be a YouTuber and that's it. And I'm like, but what else after that? Like, what are you going to do to sustain, you know? And so because they see so much ease, or at least appears to be ease, they're afraid to sit through that. You know what I mean? I've met people, I want to be the CEO. I'm like, but what knowledge do you have? And they'll run a YouTube university quick. And I'm like, okay, to a degree, yes, it can help you get what you need a lot faster, but there's still, to your point, that patience, that time, that grit, and it really develops you in a way where when you get in bigger rooms, you'll see the beauty of that. Because the conversations that happen in those rooms, you haven't been in it yet. And so that's that foundation. So I love when you say that. So let's move into this, because you have Tales from the Porch for Art is a Language. You brought that up earlier in the top. Let me tell you something. You so good, because as I'm going through my question, I'm like, she didn't answer half of these. She done flowed me up perfect. So we just know you just, anyway. multimedia art, you know, and it explores empowering stories. You have five contemporary artists who live in Buffalo, New York, which that's where you're from. And just using visual and performing and literary arts. And so I want you to kind of really share what evoked Tales from the Porch, because if you're at four, obviously, right? So I really want to talk about like how it evolved and how do you see not only how it evolved, but what do you see for the future of it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and thank you for asking. Thank you for asking, because a lot of times I'm going to be the sidebar. Because I do so many different things, I'm always asked certain questions that come about, like music, and I get it. I understand. But this is really what drives me, this working within my community, utilizing, because music is a tool.
Right.
Video, photography, all of those things are tools to influence my community. It's to uplift, engage with my community, because it's necessary.
Right.
But this one, the porch, started from a curiosity. It started from a curiosity. And a frustration, honestly. So I'm from the east side of Buffalo. A lot of people have labels for the east side. East side is the most, you know, impoverished, they say, the most violent, they say, you know, all of the negative things that you can say, they attribute it to the east side of Buffalo. And that's where I was raised and moved and shaped. But that's also where I gained. That's where I gained resources. That's where I learned about what it is that I am making a living off of. Yeah. It's where, you know, on my block, it's where you have the Miss Jeans and the Miss Sarahs. That's like, I'm going to tell your mama. That shaped me, you know? Yeah, it's the where I learned how to fight, but I also learned how to, you know, make sure I get in the house at the right time. You know, yes, it's where I was embarrassed by my mama, but it still, it gave me what I needed to be who I am today. It gave me the grit. And so I was frustrated about the negative things that were being said. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, what do I use to tell the story of the beauty that I see? So mm-hmm. my tools are photography, film, literary arts or creative writing. And so just like Gordon Parks, who was a famous photographer, he said that his weapon of choice was his camera. He could have picked up any weapon, knife, gun, but he picked up the camera in order to influence change within his community. So I just did the same thing. The curiosity evoked that. And then, curiosity and frustration. And then while I was capturing stories on the East Side, I thought to myself, I said, wait a minute. If people have stereotypes about the East Side, there are stereotypes about other sides of the city. Wow. Even me.
Yeah.
My assumptions are based off of my perspective and perceptions and experiences. Right. But there are also things that people say about the South Side. They say that it's racist. Mm-hmm. There's things that they say about the West Side or the North Side of my city. And right. so I said, well, who would I be to just focus on one side? I know this side. Let me step out. And that curiosity led me to go to the four corners of my city to talk to people on their porches and ask them questions and interview them and photograph them and photograph the beauty on each side, and then take all that I gathered and showcase it in an exhibition where at that exhibition, there were a diverse amount of people from, you know, different generations, different genres, different, you know, backgrounds, ethnicities, who were able to come in, see the work. And I translated the different stories that were told to me into poetic form. Mm-hmm. And with video, we had a porch made, we had diorama porches and, you know, all types of stuff. And people were able to come and share their porch stories. Wow. And so it turned into something that it was really beautiful, you know. Yeah. It was really beautiful. So that was the first one.
Yeah.
And then that turned into like the second one, which was 2022. Mm-hmm. I gained a grant from NISCA and utilizing the writing skills and that degree that I worked hard at, the English degree. I got a grant that supported my creative idea of going to capture stories of Black-owned businesses who were pushing through the pandemic during that time.
Right.
Soon as we started the project, the Tops tragedy in Buffalo happened. So I shifted it and focused on Black leaders in the city, in the city of Buffalo. And so we captured 7 stories of Black leaders who are doing amazing work in Buffalo, who are going to continue to do amazing work. So I captured them through photography, film, and poetry, but also built programs that help young people do the same. And their work was showcased with my work. And we showcased it right down the street from Tops, right in the middle of the street, blocked the street off in collaboration with my church, fed the community, gave book bags away, showcased art, and invited some art-based organizations. And we just had a good old art time.
Art time.
I mean, good old art time.
Right. That is good. Wow.
And it just went on and went on. And here we are at 4.
And 4, it comes out, give me the date, it's July, right?
Yep. This month on July 26th is the opening for the exhibition at Buffalo Art Studio.
What should people expect this time when they walk into this?
Yeah, so this time is really a little different. It's the same idea of amplifying the voices within the community. This time, the storytellers are artists, visual artists, contemporary artists, or what have you. And it's photography, it's poetry, and it's video. And so this time around, we did a 45-minute documentary showcasing their thoughts on this idea of art being a language and every medium is a different dialect. Mm. And so they spoke about that. They talked about their lives in relation to their art form, how they got to their art form. And realistically, we just had a conversation based off of the word focused. And so every letter in focused has a meaning. And so in the documentary, I'm talking about the foundation of the project. The O is optimism.
Okay.
The K is knowledge. The U is unwavering, being unwavering, unmovable. The S is being strategic, and the D is determination, you know. And so each one of the artists talks about one of those aspects in relation to their art form. And so what people can expect is beautiful photography, you know, a collection of photography, poetry. So I'm translating their work into poetic form. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we're going to do a documentary premiere at a art gallery.
Nice, man. That's going to be exciting. I was like, when I read it, because I was like, where is this? I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to get me a plane ticket. Yeah, no, definitely. So we get back into this next piece of it because we're talking about creativity. We talked about the community. And there was one post that I read on your Instagram, and it was the Artist Employment Program.
Yeah.
And on there you wrote, since I was a young person, I was captivated by freedom of expression within the arts. And you've shared like so much already. I want you to share a little bit more about the Artist Employment Program.
Yeah, so CRNY is Creatives Rebuild New York. And this is an initiative that was funded, I believe, through the state. I want to say, you know, funded through federal government too. I may be wrong with that.
Yeah, no.
It was a huge load of funding, millions of dollars was given to a lot of different artists within New York State. Mm-hmm. And the employment piece was so... And as an artist, there's a lot of times people say, oh, you're a starving artist. That's the ideology. Yeah. I don't believe that because I'm not a starving artist.
Right.
So it really was created in order to give artists an opportunity to earn income and to have a salary working under or with, in partnership with, an organization within their space. And so I decided to go for the opportunity. And out of hundreds, you know, I think thousands of different people, I was selected along with a lot of different other artists within my city. Mm. And so this is like a six-figure grant that allowed you to work over 2 years with an organization. And so the organization is Buffalo Art Studio, which that's where I'm going to be showcasing the work. The artists that I focused on was part of Buffalo Art Studio in some capacity. And so my aim was more so to give an opportunity to emerging artists to develop their skills for myself as an artist in relation to this organization. And so I worked with about 10 artists altogether, emerging artists, but also within my company, those creators were able to kind of eat off that. And so the emerging artists ranged from 13 years old to like 25 years old.
Wow.
I really did like one-on-one with them, just helping them develop as artists. They were able to exhibit their work. They responded to the Tales from the Porch, the Tales from the Porch 2. Mm-hmm. And then we had an exhibition that was the Tales from the Porch 3, which those students were able to showcase their porch and what porch meant to them. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And then those students went on to continue to do exhibitions. I think one of them opened an LLC. Wow. One of them gained their own grant. And a couple of them have gained employment within arts-based organizations. So it was a very successful opportunity where they not only gained opportunities, but they were able to get paid. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
I want you to experience what it feels like to be financially stable within the space that you love. I wish that upon everyone. You have a passion. You need to be able to be sustainable within that passion. Right. So I just, you know, give them my experiences. Because I have my background in education, I build a curriculum so that they can learn and develop and soar, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it was an amazing opportunity, and it just ended at the end of June.
Oh man, that is so dope. And what do you think, because I just love, man, just how you're feeding into these young people and how they're making that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we always do hear the starving artists, you know, and that struggle. And this is like off the topic of my head, but just listening to you, do you think that in the educational system, and I mean public school, mm-hmm. something to these degrees would surely be pinnacle for individuals? Because I feel like when we look at the school system, college as well, right? It's like, right. No, you need to be a particular trait, right? And it really doesn't cultivate the art piece of it, because it's always given that you're going to be broke. Yep. Okay. Right. So how do you, when you think about it, one, asking you, do you think it would be a game changer for public schools to offer something similar? And then two, I want you to just share how you have been able to survive and stay out of the starving artists. I don't want to say trend, but how do you stay out of that realm, right? Because I think that's the most scariest thing people will say. I don't do it because there's no, I don't see where I'm going to yield to be able to feed my family. So one, do you think it's good for, you know, the education system? And then two, how did you survive through that and continue to do it?
Absolutely. So starting with the education, to me, it's so simple. You know, it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of being project based. So a lot of times, so you already know, art gets cut first.
Yep.
It's foolish. Yeah. Makes no sense. Because what about those students who they're not that academically savvy, but they could draw amazing portraits, or they can take photos or video, and they could dance their behind off, or whatever the case is, or play the piano. Everyone learns differently. Some are tactile, some are kinetic learners, some you could just say it and they'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
In order to touch multiple people and a range of people, what we just talked about earlier, art is a language. Mm. The more languages or the more dialects you have, the more you can understand. So if you integrate the arts into the education and create and design project-based methods, you can really help young people understand what they need to understand, whether it's, you know, science or, you know, whether it's language arts or whatever the case is, like you can help them expand their mind. So I think if you were to approach education in that way, it can really elevate our students a whole heck of a lot more, you know, and it's necessary. Right. I think it's a necessity to have arts. It should be treated just the same as science and social studies. And matter of fact, take social studies with the arts. Mm. How do we take history and add theater to it? Don't you think that the students would understand and remember, you know, what happened back in the World War I if they're acting it out on stage? Don't you think that they might understand if they were able to create videos in their own way, not boring videos that they don't understand, but like, let them create TikTok videos in some kind of way where they're talking about, what if I was in World War I? Or you know, whatever the case is, you know, they can do a better job of coming up with some ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, I think it's very important to continue to drive creativity within the school system. Yeah. I'm a firm advocate for it because it saved me, because I was a hot mess coming up in school. Yeah. Always in trouble, got kicked out of school, stayed in a principal's office. The person you see today, completely transformed, you know, and mostly because of God.
But
it did have to do with, because I had these abilities to have a voice through the creative arts. The other thing you were speaking about, trying to remember.
Surviving as an artist.
Yes, the starving artist situation. So, man, and this is why I think it's important to engage young people as early as possible within the creative arts and just opportunities to learn about just real life.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this stuff I learned in my teens.
So
my confidence built, you know, very early. And what I knew I could do, I knew it early. Not to say that I was out here like, yeah, I got this, I'm gonna be a CEO. I still had low self-esteem, but I knew that I was good at something. And I knew that if I kept feeding it, that it would grow. I didn't know what it would grow into. I would have never thought in my life as a young person that I would be where I am today.
Right.
But because I tried to be intentional, and because at an early age, I identified what my passion was, I was able to continue to feed that. Now, I had a full-time job, and on the side, I was doing my artistry and entrepreneurship, you know, and it was very hard. But I knew what I knew what I loved, and so I had to make the sacrifice. A lot of times where people get messed up and is, I'm going to quit. You're not ready to quit your job yet. It's okay. Have your full-time job to the passion. It's okay. And when that passion and that entrepreneurship or that that goal or whatever the case is becomes so giant that it overpowers the thing that you're not really into, then that's when you start to make the transition.
That's
now,
where
I feel like I made a good decision to take on jobs that dealt with my passion. So I worked, I'd say over 15 years, maybe close to 20 years in the nonprofit sector, specific to youth development. So I was always feeding myself with that because I loved working with young people, building programs, designing curriculums, running summer camps, finding grants to get them what they needed. So that was always there. And then I would always find community-based organizations that dealt within the arts to pull that into the program. So I was always doing that. At the same time, I was doing photography. But you better, everybody knew, Miss Itina is going to teach us photography today. Oh, Miss Itina is going to teach us how to rap. Miss Itina is going to teach us how to write some poetry.
Yeah.
It was always that. So I was always feeding the passion, even though it wasn't a full-time creative. Technically it was, but it was just in a different framework. So people could find ways to make it happen like that. That's the way you do it.
I love it because, and that was solid right there. Cause I've had, me and my friends have had conversations about that, and people will say, just quit your job, you know, and you have to get some of the church folk now. Cause they'd be like, Lord told me I woke up this morning, I'm going to quit. I'm like, hey man, you can't.
I really just don't understand that because I feel like God himself is sitting there like, I ain't tell you to do that. I did not tell you to do that. You told you.
You told you.
You told you to do that.
Right. Because and you try to make everybody.
Why would he tell you to do something and struggle with no intention? Because mind you, life has struggles.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you to quit your job and you don't have anything else lined up.
Come
Does that sound like him? That goes against his own word.
There we go. Yeah.
Sense?
Yeah. And that's big right there, because I love how you set up the framework and then just talking about, even when you're doing the 9 to 5, what feeds into that passion, what will allow for you to even grow and excel in that. And so then that, it doesn't create that friction of like, man, I'm going here, or, you know, I want to quit, you know,
until job.
Right.
I don't like I love it. My job.
You know, get caught talking junk to the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, that's good. And so we're gonna bring it on down, and we're gonna get into the Christian hip hop part, because we spent a great deal just talking about your business, man, which is beautiful. And I wanted to make sure that we tapped into that, because I want to make sure we get to honor the work that you put in for the community and for the people that are impacted, you know, significantly, you know, beyond what, you know, we see, right? Honestly. And so let's get into a conversation where recently, our sister in Christ, Jackie Hill Perry, they asked her, Rapzilla asked her a question, you know, who's your top five, you know, CHH, you know, and she's like, huh? You know, lyricism is kind of dead in Christian hip hop. On my show on Saturday, she tickled me because she was like, "Who are those guys?" And he's like, "Indie Tribe." She's like, "Yeah, them." I was like, "Oh Lord, you know, oh Lord Jesus." So I was like, you know, don't come for our sister in Christ. She probably was tied. You know, it's been, you know, just leave alone. Be alone. And so I want to get into, what do you feel? Because to me, I always tell people you're a lyricist, but I do want to hear from you. What do you define as lyricism? Because I feel like people need to understand that framework first. And really from a creative space, because, you know, the conversation I had with somebody, I started rapping when I was 7, and then I do poetry. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, when I listen to you, my ear gates are, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm listening now. Yeah. But we see where hip hop just in itself is not what it used to be from the foundation, the core. Oh, okay. And then you get into Christian hip hop and you see some of that same situations flow into the lyricism or even the music, so forth and so on. So as an artist, can you define to us what you feel lyricism is? And then we'll follow up with some questions based off of that.
Yeah, so lyricism at its core is the utilization of lyrics. It's the art of utilizing lyrics. I think we get into this, you know, deeper kind of space where in our minds we're thinking that, you know, oh, because they used a lot of words or they did this or that. We understand that in hip hop, when you're termed as lyrical or a lyricist, it's because you understand the elements of literature or elements of literary arts. And right. So using metaphors in a way that can draw out a subject matter that makes your listeners feel you, sense, taste, and you'll be able to touch what you're saying. Yeah. And so you're opening up the senses through the utilization of the elements of literary arts. And right. So metaphors, similes, double entendres, onomatopoeias, alliteration, those types of things, it's the unique ability to utilize those elements in a way that your audience or your viewer, listener can be pulled in and drawn into what you're saying. And you're saying it in a way so that they can have multiple ways to sense and to experience what it is that you're presenting. And right. So the better defined way you use that positions you as either, top tier, if you will. You know, if you can say what you need to say in multiple ways, if you have a song and I'm listening to it, and I gotta go back. And when I go back and listen to it again, I hear something different.
Yeah.
Then I go back again, like, oh, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Because of the layers that you created through the utilization of the elements of literary arts. And so I think that sums up what lyricism is. Now, like I said, the technical term is you're just using lyrics. If that's the case, everybody's a lyricist that utilizes lyrics, but we both understand that a deeper, you know, journey into it is how you use those lyrics, the craftiness, you know, your cadence, your creativity within it, your clarity of what you're saying, you know, different forms and ways that you can express yourself within a song, how you create a beat with your rhythmical ability, you know. So all of that comes all together and sums up what we identify, like who would be the top, who would be medium, who would be on the bottom, if you will, you know. And that's all like in the matter of how you critique, and that's off of your own thought process of what you believe to be good or not, you know. Right.
No,
that's my educated.
No, that was I was like,
it's English degree. I better know what I'm talking about.
Listen, it could be some listeners like, what's she saying? Hold on. But and that's good. We educating today. So let's even get into the and then we'll run around out about any projects you have that you want to share. But Christian hip hop in itself, I've always asked this to different artists. Where do you think that Christian hip hop is in a box? Or does it really have a place to evolve? Because in my mind, I feel like Christian hip hop can literally be the high standard for hip hop, period. And so I just want to get your take on, where do you think Christian hip hop is headed?
Man, where do I think Christian hip hop is headed? Based off of what I see, what I hear.
Yes.
There's a collection of different things. Keep in mind that my mind and thoughts are where I am. I'm using art forms to, like, my intent, my heart, and my attention and energy is utilizing creative arts to amplify the voices within my community and to support my community.
Yeah.
My main intent is to be the best mother and wife that I could be.
Mm.
So my energy is into that. So I'm not as tapped in as I'd like to be.
Yeah.
At the same time, because I love my people within Christian hip hop, I do make sure that I stay up to date on who's who to some degree. I don't know everybody.
Right.
The individuals that I listen to or come across, if that keeps happening, it's headed into a great direction. You know, keep getting individuals like Ty Lin. If we get Too Cool Tiff, if we continue to get Shakia, Aisha, Lexi, Mahogany Jones, and I shouldn't have started naming names because I'm not naming names.
Yeah.
I could be sitting here all day, and those are just the women.
That's right.
Talking about Bizzo, Dayton. Yeah. Eshawn Burgundy, Jarrett Sanders, Selah the Corner. If you talk about Hog Mob, you can talk about Indie Tribe, No Big Deal. You know, you talk about John Keith. You know, we can go on and on.
Yeah.
These individuals, not only are they dope at what they do lyrically, and there's so many more.
Yes.
That are dope at what they do lyrically. But a lot of them, their hearts, because I've met some of them in person and talked to some of them and experienced them, their heart posture is for Christ.
Yes.
You know, so if that's the case, then it's heading in a good direction.
There we go.
But that's what my ears are tuned to, and that's where my heart is. You know, we're dealing with, like, you know, the gossipy stuff. You know, the commentary around things, in my opinion, that don't matter to me. Not that they don't matter, period. People have their positions, and I respect that. But for me, it's like, let me get back into the space to influence my community. You know, if we're gonna continue to go into the directions that the Bible speaks about that will take us away from our Father, and it's not, then there's aspects of it that's not headed into a good direction. It's going to lead us into the ditch, you know. So I would say that I am on the side of being optimistic.
Okay.
We continue to build ourselves up and to support one another and to uplift and say the names that need to be said and to share the work that you hear that you feel is good. And to work with those individuals if you can, then we will be able to be the goal. You know, we're talking about things that matter. You know, people, and then I'm not just talking about, like, people who say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
That's right. We're talking
about the people who are saying things about life that still screams, you know, agape love.
Yes.
That still screams God is our creator. You know. Just by talking, like Jarrett does a good job of this in his projects, where he's talking about real life situations. He did a project some years ago where it was like almost a gift to men to say, like, here's what I'm dealing with as a husband. Here's what I'm dealing with as a father. Dayton did that too. You know what I'm saying? You got Bizzle did that as well.
Yeah, he did.
Like, a lot of these men are talking about, here's what it is that I'm struggling with, and here's how I'm coping with it, and here's how I'm still falling and failing. That's real music that's gonna help you grow. And in mainstream hip hop, we don't get that all the time.
That's right.
Not that it doesn't exist, but we just don't always hear that because it's not pushed as much. But on a Christian hip hop side, it is.
Right.
And when people talk about what bothers me, I'm going to just say what I'm going to say. What bothers me the most about these conversations, and I do get it. I understand the perspective. Understand that I'm always seeking to understand then to be understood.
Right.
What I want people to understand from my perspective is if we keep using this language like Christian hip hop is dead.
Yes.
When you have vibrant artists who are screaming from their hearts.
Yes.
Many of them. Did you hear No Big Deal's project?
Yes. Yes. Ready to, I was locked and loaded. I was like, when are we downloading this now?
Heart-wrenching, right? Real stuff. He's pouring his heart out. It's very difficult to accept this idea that Christian hip hop is dead when I hear a project like that. And when I hear Jerry Sanders project.
Yeah.
And when I hear, you know, even Lecrae's project. And I'm not naming all the projects because I'm not tapped in as much as I'd like to be, but just based off of the ones that I have time to indulge in, that is good work.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So that gives me hope.
Yes.
That makes me optimistic.
Yes. You know?
And I think that we need to continue to use that language when we're talking about our genre.
Yeah.
Who's doing it better? Who's speaking about life?
Yes.
Feeding life to the extent that we are. Right. We need to be so, you know, so strong and confident in having each other's back. Like we a gang over here. Who doing it better?
Right.
We're getting sync licensing deals because our music is clean.
Yep.
I can go on and on, but like, I think that we need to be careful in how we position our words. And when we're talking about our genre, have some hope. I do understand the perspectives because there's some things that you see that like, man, come on.
Yeah.
Or hear some music you like, this sound just like everything else I'm hearing. But hey, art is a language. Art is art. I don't try to knock anybody. Do your thing. Make it happen. But I just feel like we gotta speak better about our people. You know?
Yeah. No, that's big. And I love that because, you know, I always, when I talk to different CHH artists on here, and, you know, even when I started the digital gospel radio station, you know, it's a bunch of them, you know, out because it's the way the world works. You can start up tonight at whatever time you like. The goal really is truly to, as our motto here is to share the love of God through music and being able to not only give the platform to the main CHH artists we know, but just also to the ones that are working in the weeds who are just getting their feet wet, then being honest and real. Like, I hear you, but tune down on the auto tunes. I hear you. Cause I tell some artists when they send me work, I'm like, actually, when I heard you without the auto tune, I'm liking what I'm hearing, but you're putting slow up on it. I hear you, you know, like, and so it's like, create your own identity. And I love this conversation because I pray that people are really, they take something from this conversation and really dig into their artistry, really dig into being unique and who they are and who God has called them to be, and not look to the norms. Because I always tell people, God always has a group of people set just for you. And he's waiting on you to truly like be in one with him, be in agreement with him and who he's called you to be versus what you're trying to emulate. And so I just pray like people get the nitty gritty of this and pray that it really leans into what you're doing in the community. Continue to just show us as an artist, man, just amazing. Yeah. So let's talk about any projects that you want to share. We already know the porch is coming up. Okay. Anything else that you want to share with the listeners about what you have going on anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely. But real quick, I also want to add to that piece. I forgot about Derek Minor. I'm like thinking about names. I'm like,
now that's bad because Derek was on here like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks about
Derek Minor. Like, and then this is why I want to bring him up, because he has dope music. But that's a dope dude who cares about his community. Another person that comes to mind is Cadence. Remember Cadence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
OKC.
Yeah.
So he was doing music a lot, but I went to OKC to learn more about what he was doing in the community. This man has a whole community-based program that helps young people in youth development. And they're like learning how to box. They're learning financial literacy. And so, like, beyond just the music, like, how are you utilizing your music and your gifts to support the community? Derek Miner worked with a couple of other individuals to build an organization called We Own Now.
Yes.
And Leadership is the New Black. And he has ambassadors. I'm one of the ambassadors for that particular initiative. And we went to Washington together as a group with different artists. And I want to say No Big Deal was there.
Okay.
It's a lot of different artists. Portia Love.
Yes, Portia, yes.
I think Wande was, Wande was there. It was a lot of different artists. I can't remember everybody's name. Yeah. But we all came together to learn and to grow in order to take what we learned about financial literacy, about the system. You know, we sat with individuals at the White House and talked to them, constituents and things like that, to take what we learned back to our communities. That is why I feel Christian hip hop is not dead, because it's all about the intention behind what you're saying and what you're doing.
Yes.
You know I mean, there's no way I can accept that for me personally, but you have artists like that that are doing those types of things. It's so many different artists that are doing more than just writing raps.
There we go.
They are writing curriculums. They are writing grants. They are writing ways to encourage and implement opportunities within their community. That's really what the focus should be. How do we utilize this space to build? Because if you really dig into the Bible and what it's talking about, it's talking about serving.
Yes, yes,
Being a cheerful giver, you know, giving back. And how do you do that? By, you know, that's how you do that.
Right.
By giving within that space. So, yeah. As far as projects.
No. I'm glad you added that, because even when Derek was here, that was the biggest thing he brought up. He was like, look, I'm about community. If I can tap you into this person or that, because I'm gonna tell you, Derek a real one. Me and Derek were trying to get an interview going like for like 3 weeks straight. Then my grandmother died. Then he had dead. Then we get on the phone, we record, it didn't record. And when I tell you, Derek was like, what day are we doing this again, Danielle? I was like, I appreciate you, family. You know, and for me, it was the genuineness. It was the, I see what you're doing. Let's tap in. Hey, Danielle, I want you to work on this. Who you need to talk to get you to this? And that is community. Is where we do have to make sure, to your point, we share that. Because even with you coming on, I could have easily just said, let's talk about music. And I was like, nah, man, it's bigger than that. And so you sharing even what you shared, everybody doesn't know that. I think we have to get in a place, and Derek Miner did great, because then it was on one of those video games, his track's on now. You just see it, like, you know, really going across all spectrums. And that's why in my head, I'm like, Christian hip hop has to be the hip hop standard. Like, that's it.
You're saying yes, absolutely.
And we just have to continue to share what our community is doing and tapping in to, like you said, not just only the music, but the person at heart and who God is creating them and what they're doing in the community, which goes right to you and others as well. So I just had to say that. Well, let's talk about any new things you got going on for us as well.
Yes, yes. So with the Tales from the Porch, because it's multidimensional. Obviously, there's music involved with this. So I decided to create a soundtrack for Tales from the Porch documentary. So every one that I did, except for the first one, I did original music. And I worked with my brother, basically, Carolina Blue, and he did audio engineering and created music. And I created songs for that project. And so we're hoping that Tales from the Porch soundtrack would drop this, I'm hoping this year. Okay. We have a lot going on, but I'm hoping that it comes out this year. And it's a collection of music from Tales from the Porch 2, and then from this one, Tales from the Porch 4. We didn't do a documentary, Tales from the Porch 3, that was specifically for students. But it's a mixture of music that I created during the Topps tragedy. It's a collection of music that I created for, you know, Tales from the Porch 4. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to. There'll probably be a single or two that I will drop, you know, here and there. But, you know, it's a lot.
Busy. Yeah, no, that's good. And then also, too, how can they follow you on social media as well?
Yes, AI The Anomaly. I, Tina Free Cook, you can type that in. Yeah. As far as the work, as it relates to storytelling through digital media, is Get Focused Productions, and that's FOKUSD. And I am on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or you can, you know, email us or go on the website, aitheanomaly.com or getfocusedproductions.com.
Awesome. Man, well, my sister in Christ, when I say we appreciate you, we appreciate you.
Look at the way that they move, look at the things that they do, follow the thrill, blind at the wheel, but pushing the pedal, I chauffeured the devil, I rode in the meadow, the valley of shadows, I twisted the scriptures so I could feel better, no shame in that living, I rode in that sin, unashamed of my flesh, riding the fence, out of you cold, I was lukewarm, I was warned that my lust would be pulled on, trying to ride with the world since a newborn, switch whips got tense, I've been transformed, them scripts I sipped, now my thirst gone, a devil gonna tempt me. Please, I'll be on my loop for, I'll be riding with the Lord in my new form. Got a new source, I'm a shoe score. Crossover, smoke pass like a Newport. I'll be riding to the horn blow. Take me to the home court. I bring them to the net, bring the fish home. Feed them meat, nut milk so the fish grow. I'ma lead them to the well, let them ride on their own. I'ma ride with the Lord till I ride with the Lord. I'ma ride, yeah, yeah. Early on the grind, I ride. Schwinn with the bike, I glide. Quit not me, I tried. Get like me, let's dive. Early on the grind, I ride. Schwinn with the bike, I glide. Quit not me, I tried. Get like me, let's dive. Living water, living water. Early on the grind, I ride. Swim with the bike, I glide. Quit not me, I try. Get like me, let's die. Early on the grind, I ride. Swim with the bike, I glide. Quit not me, I try. Living water, living water.
That's what I live by.
Setting the worst, I settle for worse. I meddle with jerks, I peddled and turn. I live and I learn, I work and I earn. I watch and I see, I listen and lead. Intentions is feed, give and receive. These lessons for free, one blessing I need. Death on a tree, a vessel indeed. Take it from me, put your pride on a leash. Control that thing, earn your keep. Better build your dreams, no rent, no lease. Let's own this thing, let's get it, let's keep. Yeah, yeah. Early on I swim with the I. Quit now, I get like this. Early on the grind, I ride. Swim with the bike, I glide. Quit not me, I try. Get like me, less. Living water, living water. Living water, living water. That's what I live by. Living water, living water. Yeah. Living water, living water. Yeah. Early on the grind, I ride. Swing with the bike, I cry. Quit like me, all night. Yeah, like me, like. Coffee in my mic, molded ceramic. I'm on my black bean grind. Most call it luck, intentional talent. I'm ahead of my time. I had mountains and valleys to climb. Weak, heavy, the night. Speak, travel, learn.